Good morning, members of the Cameron's Community Church and all our other added friends. Grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and Jesus Christ our Lord. I hope you are surviving well and finding some extra things to do as we continue in this distancing that we haven't done before. And I don't know if we'll ever get used to this distancing and isolation. I saw a burglar kicking down his own front door. And I went to him, I said, "What on earth are you doing?" He says, "I'm working from home." So just a lot of weird things happening when we're like this. But you know what? Because of this isolation, I finished 3 books this past week. And you know, that's a lot of coloring, believe me. Anyways, we thank you for hanging in there with us. And thanks to our leadership as they continue to both the elders and the deacons. And thanks to our office manager, Rebecca, for the church bulletins you put out and the camera work. And speaking of camera work, we're using a camcorder that was used for kids club and youth group. And someday we'd like to take this up to live streaming when we can meet again. And we know that there are people, especially in the wintertime, that are not able to come to church. And we would like to be able to let them see the service from beginning to end in the privacy of their own home and in the comfort of their own home. So if any of you out there really feel that that would be a project you'd like to take on, and we just need a much better camera than this, and just let us know. We'd be more than happy to assist you in that area. One of the thanks also to our worship teams who meet, and it is a little different than meeting all together on Sunday, but we thank you for leading us in worship. Thanks to Doreen Wilson as well. You are getting devotions from a book that she plans on publishing shortly. And she just shared last week on hope. And that's the same topic that I'm going to kind of share with you this morning. Crystal's taking 1 month off from her weekly blog. And so Doreen has filled in. So as this is the third Sunday, I'll split my time between communion, which is the whole reason we have hope. You can see the title, The Lord's Table and Hope. That's what we're going to be talking about this morning. And the whole reason that we have the hope that we have is because of the finished work of Christ, what Jesus brought us. Now, a reminder, too, that we have pre-filled communion cups with wafers here at the church available for you at any time. Just come and ask for them, and we'll give them to you. Now, in phoning people around, and especially the families, we find that many families are having a struggle, having a tough time, to have the children home 24/7, getting the schoolwork done, getting the housework done, and trying to keep peace. And so we just keep praying for you all that God will give you wisdom and through this time, and hopefully this time will come to an end quickly. Others are finding it very hard, especially those who are single, those who are retired, unable to communicate the way they would like to communicate. And but as we go through these weird times, we really do find it hard in many different ways. I talked to a gentleman the other day, and he said that he's just really tired for some reason. So it's affecting us in many different ways. But as we celebrate the communion table this morning, the Lord's table, one of the things that comes to mind as we think we have it hard is what the price that Jesus paid so that we could have salvation. In comparison, what he went through, we really don't have it too hard at all, but he did it all for us. I just want to share a few things. This is an exhaustive list, but a few things in Jesus leaving his Father in heaven to come and to die for us and to take our sins and then to rise again. To begin with, it meant a physical separation from the intimate relationship he had with his Father. He had to leave all his heavenly glory behind and live through our emotional up and down existence. He had to fulfill in detail all the Old Testament prophecies, whether he'd read about it or not. Even his birth, his fleeing to Egypt, and his being raised in Nazareth. That's all prophetic fulfillment. He had to be born human, be born as a baby, vulnerable and helpless, and experience the sin of the world as we know it and as we feel it. He had to give up all the things we consider as earthly rights, justice, mercy, were denied him. He had to give up his own will completely and do only what the Father wanted him to do and say. He had to live 100% for others and not for himself. He had to live with no permanent address or roof over his head, living of the support of others, no stability at all, as we would say. And as the scripture says, birds have nests and foxes have holes, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. He had to be sinless. He had to live in our filth and destructive habits and remain sinless. He had to live knowing how he would die and even on which day he would die, because it had to be at the time of the Passover according to scripture. He even knew what he would be, that he would be crucified on a cross. He said, "When you see the Son of Man lifted up," he had overcome death, defeat the devil, rise from the grave, and send the Holy Spirit. He had to leave his friends behind, knowing that they would also be killed for their faith. And through all this, he also had to love all of his enemies. And despite all that, he told his disciples in the upper room, saying, "I have eagerly desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer." And that's found in Luke 22:15. So this morning at the communion table, or the Lord's table, whatever you prefer to call it, number one, we remember our identity in Christ. Number two, we recover our hope in Christ. Number three, even though we are physically apart, we rediscover our unity in Christ and as a body of believers. And number four, we can reclaim our purpose. In Luke 22:19-20, Luke writes, "And he took bread and gave thanks and broke it and gave it to them, saying, 'This is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me.'" Let us partake together. Writes, "In the same way, after the supper, he took the cup, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is poured out for you.'" Let us partake together of the Lord's cup. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you, Lord, for sending your Son, Jesus. Jesus, we thank you this morning again for coming for us. And as we read about all the things that you went through, and that's not all, we realize you did this all in love for us. And we give you thanks again this morning. Our hearts are humbled. We just pray today that you would minister to each one of us in a fresh way by your Holy Spirit. We thank you for this new covenant, the new covenant, the new deal, the new testament that we have. The old is done away with, and we can experience the new in our lives today. How thankful we are for that, Lord. I'll just bless this message, Lord, as I share this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm going to make a couple of connections here this morning in regards to this. Between the Lord's table, between hope, between faith, and between love. In 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 to 5, we read, "Praise be to God the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade. This inheritance is kept in heaven for you, who through faith are shielded by God's power until the coming of the salvation which is to be revealed in the last time." Because of the resurrection of Christ, because of the finished work of Christ, we have a living hope. It's not a dead hope, it's a live hope. And in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verses 9 to 11, Paul writes, "For God did not appoint us to suffer wrath, but to receive salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. He died for us so that whether we are awake or whether we are asleep, we may live together with him." That's that living hope that we have. Daily, we can experience the Lord Jesus Christ, the power of the Holy Spirit, the love of the Father. And, of course, we are all going to leave this earth sometime, and we will eternally be there with him. We may live together with him. "Therefore, encourage one another and build each other up, just as in fact you are doing. Folks, it is a living hope, and I want to encourage you this morning to find great ways to experience that new hope. The Word of God tells us that His mercies are new every day. Let's find these mercies. Let's see new ways that God is speaking to us, ministering through us, and sharing His love to us. It's a living hope. When I was writing this out, I was thinking of that old hymn that goes like this: "My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. On Christ, the solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand." We have that living hope. We have that solid rock, Jesus, to stand on today. Now, on the other side of the in Christ reality is the solving of a mystery that Paul said had been kept hidden for ages and even for generations. He says, "To them God has chosen to make known among the Gentiles the glorious riches of this mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory." And it was just before that he was talking about this mystery being hidden from people before us. Now, folks, I don't know about you, but I'm glad that I can experience the wonderful result of this plan that God had from the foundation of the earth that He's kept from other generations. But in his divine love, we participate and totally benefit with and are in this mystery. Christ in you, again, the hope of glory. In fact, in the Living Translation, Paul writes in Ephesians chapter 1, this is such an awesome thing that Jesus did for us that we benefit in, that Paul says, "Moreover, because of what Christ has done," which we've been talking about today, "we have become gifts to God that He delights in." And that's something that we need to realize in our hearts. The love of God is so strong for us, wanted to buy us back so greatly, that in sending His Son and what Jesus did, we become gifts to God and He delights in you. Now, I know that not everybody delights in me, but it's good to know that my Savior, my Lord, my Heavenly Father, that I'm a gift to Him, and you're a gift to Him, and He delights in you this morning. At the end of the love chapter, 1 Corinthians chapter 13:13, we read, it's familiar to us, but I'm just going to put it anyways. "Now these three remain, faith, hope, and love, but the greatest of these is love." Now the greatest of these is love because that's who God is. He is love. In Galatians chapter 5, verse 6, "For in Christ Jesus neither circumcision nor uncircumcision has any value. The only thing that counts is faith expressing itself through love." And I'm just trying to share with you this morning, we're emphasizing the area of hope, eternal hope, living hope, lasting hope, solid hope, but also the connection between faith and love. When we are experiencing the love of God, faith becomes alive in us. Paul wrote, "The only thing that counts is faith expressing itself through love." I think sometimes if we're not seeing our faith in action, is are we experiencing the love of God in our lives? Is it a daily thing? When we get up in the morning, when we go down to bed at night, when we go through tough times like this, are we actually experiencing the love of God? Because when we experience the love of God, faith comes alive. So another tie-in here is Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1, which says, "Now faith is being sure of what we hope for and the certainty of what we do not see." So the three tie-ins so well together: faith, love, and hope. And of course, this verse in chapter 11 of Hebrews is followed by all those people who lived by faith, died by faith, never seeing that promise of a Savior coming that we are experiencing today. Faith, love, and hope should be a daily reality for us. Today we emphasize hope. Romans chapter 5, verses 1 to 5. "Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ." So again, when faith is in action, we have peace. Being justified by faith, we have peace with God, and there's something to be said about peace in this troubled world that we live in. Again, as we experience the faith, love, and hope, we're also going to experience another benefit of that, as that is peace through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand. And we boast in the hope of the glory of God. Not only so, but we also glory in our sufferings, because we know that suffering produces perseverance. Perseverance, character, and character, hope. There's that word, hope, again. And hope does not put us to shame. Beautiful thing about hope in God, because God's love has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. So much more, but I think you get the picture that I'm trying to share with you this morning. The great benefits, so many benefits of salvation through Jesus Christ our Lord. And as we celebrate the communion table today, we realize the hope that we have in our life. And may many more come to realize this hope that we have. And one of the things, as I mentioned at the beginning, is when we celebrate the Lord's table or the communion table, we recover our hope, for we are reminded of the hope that the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus gave us. So in accordance with hope, I will close with this benediction taken from Romans chapter 15, verse 13. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. May God bless you folks today, and have a great day, have a great week, and we'll be constantly in touch. Amen.